Howdy, folks. Today, we're going to jump into James chapter 5. We're going to talk about verses 1 through 3. And I got to tell you, these six verses here in James chapter 5, they're really sad to know that this went on among those that would be called saints in the first century. I've seen some bad things happen within the body of Christ with those who have gone into apostasy, but this definitely takes the cake. So we're going to take verses 1 through 3. It says, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped up treasure together for the last days." So verses 1 through 3 read like that. To break it down, I want to remind you, as we're going to go verse 1, then 2, then verse 3, that we saw this phrase, "go to now," in James 4:13, which said, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." And we talked about how it just simply means come now or come on now. So come now or come on now, ye rich men, is the way this verse starts off. And we've been talking about some of the problems that have been present among those whom James is addressing already in chapter 1 and chapter 2 as it relates to wealth and poverty. For example, in James 1, 9 through 11, we talked about, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So shall also the rich man fade away in his ways." We studied that. We talked about that. When you look at those who bring wealth into their relationship with the Lord, as we're going to talk more about as we go forward, those individuals make salvation that much more difficult. And it's not as though everybody who is brought into the Lord through conversion and added to the church by him, Acts 2 verses 41 through 47, that is just easy street to heaven without money. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 17 through 19, it says, "The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." So you saw in 1 Peter 4:18 there that the righteous are scarcely or with difficulty or hardly saved. But when you add money into the mix, that complicates matters. And what we saw in James chapter 2 is it had complicated the relationship about how those in poverty, especially within some of the things that were happening in the assembly. Do you remember? Let me remind you. Let's look back at James 2, 1 through 13. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and ye say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? So listen to that. I'm going to repeat this. Ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Keep that in mind as we're talking about James 5, 1 through 6. He said, Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever should keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that should be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoice against judgment. So there's a lot there that we've already covered, but I want to address this particular specific point that's kind of drawn out here. Those who were in poverty within the body of Christ, of whom James is writing, treated those that had the appearance of wealth greater than those that did not. They were guilty of having a respect of persons. So now, as we're talking about how the wealthy are abusing those that work for them, as we get down into verses 4 through 6, and how even they're committing murder of the just, why are they getting away with it? Look, all these things tie together. When people are put up on a pedestal and they're given a certain level of respect that's not due them, they can take advantage of people. And those that were in poverty were allowing themselves to be taken advantage of because they had respect of persons. Now, before we talk about the danger that comes with prosperity, I want to remind you that not every person who has money is just ultimately condemned to hell. And I want to remind you that it is possible for somebody to have earthly wealth and to be faithful to the Lord. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Now, I say that, I want to bring that to your mind because we're about to get into some scriptures that show the danger of prosperity and set the stage for what's going on here among these apostates within the early first century Lord's body. Prosperity is dangerous. That doesn't mean it's impossible to be rich and be saved. So don't go to an extreme, right? Don't think, well, then that means at the first sign of material wealth, somebody is lost. But what it does mean and what we will see is it makes the road to heaven that much more difficult for that individual. And I want to draw points here, both from the Old and the New Testaments, because it's always been the case that financial prosperity, earthly wealth, makes it more difficult to serve God. And for that reason, I don't know why so many want to pursue it, why so many want to engage in it. I have seen people within the body of Christ who have fallen away over wealth multiple times, and some who always had wealth, and unfortunately, I know I've mentioned this in times past, but when I preached in Virginia, if you followed this podcast, you've heard me talk about this, there was a man in the congregation there named Ward Teal, and he has since departed this world and is in torment, unfortunately. Not because efforts weren't made, but because one of his problems was that he was high-minded and he trusted in his uncertain riches. Well, a lot of people respected him very highly. not because he was a faithful brother, but because that material wealth gave him power, even among the assembled saints. And he was accustomed to that power, and he used that power to wield his own desires in an authoritative fashion among the saints. He acted as though the church could not exist without him, forgetting that the head of the church was not him, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, that was unfortunate, but what was also unfortunate is how many people essentially catered to him because of his material wealth. It was very troubling. I saw it in Pennsylvania with a family in a congregation that their last name was Buterball, and they were in the logging business up in Pennsylvania. And man, they had a lot of power. And another gentleman with the last name of Britton, same way. I can't remember what business he had, but he was wealthy. And their wealth was really their weaponized against anybody that would stand against their desires within the local church. I fell to both of them, the guy in Virginia as well as in Pennsylvania, because I did not cater to their desires. Well, they used the power that the wealth got them to prevent me from being able to continue to preach the gospel in those areas. Wealth can do that, and it makes it difficult, and not just for this reason, but also because of how people will go about to get their wealth and how what people will do to keep their wealth and how their wealth builds them up. So notice some of the scriptures here. I want to begin in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And listen, there's 20 verses in this chapter. I just want to read the whole chapter and let the Word of God do what the Word of God can do much better than I can in teaching. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 20. Says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines, and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee, or which giveth he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do good at thy later end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, If thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before your face, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So you can see God's concern. When they prospered, he was concerned that they would forget him. A couple of Proverbs. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. So the caution of Deuteronomy 8, when you prosper, you could forget the Lord. The caution here, it's better to have a little than the troubles that wealth brings about. In Proverbs 23 and verse 4, now we know, you know, scriptures teach us if any man will not work, neither should he eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for example. But to what end are you working? Proverbs 23, 4, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. And then verse 5, will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Don't work just to gain more, to have abundance. When you do, you're going to set your eyes upon that which easily departs. In the New Testament, I'll give you two examples, one out of Mark and one out of Luke. In Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 25. Speaking of Jesus as the he here in verse 17, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And answered and said to him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, and take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they have riches enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? And he says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I think about the great cautious warning our Lord puts forth here. That, I don't know how you can overlook that. Why you would want to increase the difficulty of eternal life. Then in Luke chapter 12, our last point along this example, verses 13 through 21, or our last example along this point, I should say, flipping those words. You know, I like to do that on occasion. I actually don't like to do it. It just happens. My mind gets ahead of my mouth. Luke 12, 13 through 21. One of the company said unto him, master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So we see from Deuteronomy 8, Proverbs 15, 16, Proverbs 23, 4 and 5, Mark 10, 17 through 25, and Luke 12, 13 through 21, that earthly material wealth can easily get in the way of somebody's eternal salvation. So we have to see that caution in the scriptures that prosperity is dangerous. So when he says, come on now, you rich men, you already know before you see anything else that these are individuals that are going to have a more difficult time than those who are lacking in material wealth. They've got all the distractions that come with and all the prestige that comes with. And the fact that for some reason, regardless of whether we're talking about 3 or 4,000 years ago or modern day, people who have wealth are granted by the majority of people in most societies glory and honor and praise. For some reason, what we read in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, has happened throughout the ages where people are respected greater because they have material things in abundance, which then presents all kinds of challenges. So, to the point of this context, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Remember that in the book of James, we're talking about Jewish Christians. James 1:1, we made that point as we studied James 1:1. Their history as the children of Israel was full of abuses as it relates to those that were wealthy. Examples such as Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 26 through 29. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie wait as he that set a snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? In Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 27 through 29, it says, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And Micah, two examples out of Micah. Micah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man and his heritage. And then in Micah chapter 6, verses 9 through 16, the Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with wicked balances, and with bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies. Their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick and smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but that shall not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept in all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation and inhabitants thereof a hissing. Therefore you shall bear reproach of my people." So you see their history of abuses, God's rebuke of that. And if you stay in the book of Micah, you will also see that while they were doing these things, they still counted themselves as God's people. In Micah 3, 9 through 11, "Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and the princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests therefore teach for hire, and the prophets therefore divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord to say, 'Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us.'" They had absolutely no guilt about what they were doing. So what we're reading in James 5, 1 through 6, and going to be talking about in this podcast and the next, that's part of the long history of those that were Jews. When we talked about in chapter 4, how they should weep and howl here in 5:1, we talked about, let me rephrase this. Here in James 5:1, we're saying that they needed to weep and howl. We talked about this in James 4:6 through 10, where he said, "He giveth more grace, wherefore God resists the proud, give the grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves inside the Lord, and he shall lift you up." They need to repent. They need to humble themselves before God. So taking that into chapter 5 and verse 2, where your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten, let's think about this. There is a principle in which we learn that wealthy or earthly wealth rust and corrupts. In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." There is that sense, but that's not what's being talked about here. The point here, as you look at verses 4 through 6, is about how they obtained their wealth. And we'll get to verses 4 through 6 next week. But we're going to see that they condemned and killed the just. We're going to see that they weren't paying the laborers in their fields. How they obtained their wealth, "Their riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten." That's what's corrupting them. We look at scriptures in the Old Testament. So they should have known this, right? Proverbs 10 and verse 2, "Treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing, but righteousness deliver from death." It's not good to gain wealth from doing wicked things. And Proverbs 13, 11, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." In Proverbs 20 and verse 21, "An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed." And then the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 17, 11, "As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." These earthly, wealthy gains that they have through corrupt means makes that those things corrupted. The clothing they had, while remember when we read James 2, 2 and 3 about the goodly apparel and the ring, it may look good externally, but it is, in the eyes of the Lord, corrupted, moth-eaten things that they possess. In regard to their wealth and their garments, I want you to think about what was said to the church in Laodicea. In Revelation 3, 17 through 19, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Yes, they had the external goods and apparel. But the Lord says, they're poor and blind and naked. Their riches here in James 5:2 are just like what the Lord said to the church in Laodicea. You may, in this world, appear to have what is good, the good of this world, but you don't. It is really, really not good. It's the opposite. Will they see that? Well, you know, you would hope that these words would reveal to them that, you know, our wealth is corrupt. Our garments are moth-eaten. They may look good externally, but the Lord's not seeing on the external, right? He then goes on in verse 3 of James 5. Your gold and silver is cankered, meaning it is corroded. It's covered over with rust. He says, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped up treasure together for the last days. So simply put, their wealth is a witness against them. Those who have taken what belongs to others, it's testifying against them. It's showing who they are. Now listen, we read Old Testament passages about how these gains were gotten in terrible, wicked ways, and that's part of their history. We even see it in the days of Jesus. For example, in Mark 12, 38 through 40, he said to them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, love salutation in the marketplaces, the chief seats in the synagogues, the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive the greater damnation. We talked about this when we were looking at James 1, verse 27. Those who were the fatherless and the widows were easy prey, both in the previous times of past and under the Old Testament, as well as in the first century. They were easy prey. And we see that they were devouring widows' houses. Same thing was said in Matthew 23 and verse 14 and Luke 20 and verse 47. They're easy prey. You're taking from those that could not, in the sense of this world, defend themselves. And you think you're Christians? How about how this applies to those that teach and have authority and use such in a predatory way? For example, Isaiah 56, verses 10 through 12, where it says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. Shepherds that can never understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. What about those that teach for profit, that are predators, that are seeking to gain people's money from them? That, you know, Jeremiah talks about in Jeremiah 22, 13 through 19, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages and give him not for his work. This we'll talk about next week, but notice how it continues. This saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Shall thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Doth not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice? And then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and the needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness. For to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my brother, or ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, all his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. So what about those that are predatory? Use their authority, their position to be predators. We see this with false teachers. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3 says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring them damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall evil be spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment out of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And then down in verse 14 of that same chapter, 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. What about those who are predatory, who are looking to gain from people? And listen, this has become easier in our lifetime than it ever has in the past. Excuse me, I had to take a little bit of a drink there. For example, now there is this time where people are putting out content on platforms such as YouTube. And they can gain money not only by asking for contributions. Some of the clever ones won't even ask for contributions. But they can monetize their channel, and those likes, subscribes, views, comments all generate income. So think about those individuals who are just out there trying to get more subscribers, more viewers, because it's generating ad income and other means that I'm not fully aware of. Think about not just asking for money, but clever ways wherein they're gaining just by people that choose to follow them as they are internet personalities. Be cautious towards those who are predatory and trying to gain from you. Think about in our modern day, those that would prey upon Christians who are looking to be helpful, who want to distribute to the poor, wherein those, you know, who could work, who should work, who should be laboring with their hands. Ephesians 4 and verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the things which is good that he may have give to him that needeth. What about those that are predatory and how they take advantage of the goodwill of faithful saints who may be naive and they're crooks? So see, your gold and your silver is cankered. The rust of them are a witness against you. This teaches us a principle, right? You know them by their fruit. When you can look at how somebody has gotten gain and what they have done with their wealth, not what 1 Timothy 6:17-19 it says, but to go more carnal, more worldly, when they've been abusive, when they've been a user, you know them by their fruit. Think about the principle as it relates to those that are false in Matthew 7:15-20, where it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So think about that. By their fruits ye shall know them. Those who are gathering by abusing others, think about, ye have reaped up treasure together for the last days. They've gathered by abusing others. They have judgment that's coming. In general, in a sense of being, earthly wealth is the only treasure some people are going to have. Think about our Lord giving the account of Lazarus and the rich man. And I'm not going to give you the whole account, but Luke 16:19-31 is the whole account. I'm going to give you 19-25, where it says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, rememberest thou in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. The point being, you've received your reward. You have your reward. Your reward is that earthly wealth. That's the best that you're going to see. That's it. You're not going to have anything else. This is it. This is what you gain. It's Luke 6:24. Woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. You have what you're going to get. Your earthly wealth, that's it. That's your reward. And because you have gained it, you're going to reap what you've sown. And isn't that the principle throughout the Bible? Job and Job 4:8, even as I've seen they which plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And Job didn't say that. It was Eliphaz who said that in Job 4:8, but in the book of Job. Or in Proverbs 22:8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fall. Or Galatians 6:7-8, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, what are we talking about? Your gold and silver is cankered. Rust is a witness against you. He that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You have a reward. You've robbed. You've done terrible things. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit more in detail in verses 4-6 next week. You have your reward. You've heaped up your treasure. That's all you're going to get. Now you have damnation when you, in that judgment day scene of Matthew 25:31-46, when you go away into everlasting punishment, you've already gotten your prize, your reward. So folks, that's what I've got for you here on James 5:1-3. I think this is really sad, and I'm not even looking forward to next week's podcast. I almost combined it all just because I hate that this ever happened among the Lord's people. You know, among our brethren, those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we are to be what 2 Corinthians 13:11 says. Brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. To think about the predators that have been, are, and if this world continues, will be crept in among the saints is terrible. I hate it. I've done all that I can in the years that I've been preaching the gospel of Christ faithfully to expose such things and prevent them from harming the faithful. But yet, they are and will be found among the saints from time to time. And it is sad. Well, we'll go ahead and leave it there. If all goes according to plan, I will be back on Sunday with our next podcast. And then if all goes according to plan, we will cover verses 4-6 next week. As always, if you got questions, comments, you'd like to just talk, get to know me a little bit, my website has my contact information. It's wordsoftruth.net. I'd love to hear from you. Till next time, thank you and goodbye.